Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
There's a high fly ball
from KMOX Sports.
That's hit deep to left field, and it's a gutter.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado. There's a moment for you.
Welcome to the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line.
And the driving jam time.
And the Billikens win this one.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
Comeback pattern caught. Touchdown, Kansas City!
Now, Sports Open Live on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Hey, great to be with you on a Monday night. We got an interesting week this week. We're in the build-up to the trade deadline on the 30th. And, you know, got a couple of off days for the Cardinals this week, tonight and Thursday night. You got a day game on Wednesday. So we're going to have a lot of time this week to dig in on some of the topics that are really blowing up right now. I mean, we've got, obviously, the Cardinals, a little bit of a rough weekend in Cincinnati, dropping 2 out of 3. I know, you know, you're one game away from that swing being a positive swing, right? And, you know, taking 3 of 4 from the Cubs and then 2 of 3 from the Reds. Before that, 2 of 3 from the Giants. And I know it's only one game, but it's certainly like a one-game swing. Because with a one-game swing, you win one of those on Friday or Saturday in Cincy, and all of a sudden, you know, it's 3 straight series wins, and, you know, the vibe is better. Not that the vibe is dead, it's just that it's different. And that's how the game goes right now. I mean, it's all about kind of on the run. And the Cardinals do need a bit of a run. And we'll talk more about that this hour. We'll talk a bit about the lead up to the trade deadline and all of that. So we'll check in and talk some trade deadline stuff, like major league wide, with Joe Sheehan. From the Joe Sheehan Baseball Newsletter, coming up later this hour at 6:30. Next hour, we're going to bring in Darren Pang. We'll talk a bit about all these things with the Blues. You know, we haven't had a chance to do this yet on Sports Open Line just because of all the baseball games we've had here recently. But Vince Dunn to the Kraken, Vlad Tarasenko still in the Blues organization, the trade for Buchnevich, which is super interesting. I mean, it's a nice player, nice relatively young player, about to get paid, but a pretty good player. And we'll talk a bit about him. You've got Schwartz and Hoffman and Bozak in free agency. Free agency opening on Wednesday. Rumors about who the Blues might be targeting, all that. So we're going to get to a lot of that coming up next hour as well. And then as we're just before we're getting ready to come on the air to do the show, we get the news from Mizzou that Jim Stirk is leaving. And I'm not going to lie, that's kind of surprising. according to the release sent out by the school, the school and Jim Stirk mutually agreed that he'll be stepping down from the position, quote, once a new leader is found. So they're going to go off on their search for a new AD once they have their new person, and Jim Stirk is going to turn around and head on out the door. And he's got 2 years left on his contract. I don't know any of, like, anything that's going on in the background that would have pushed this sooner rather than later. I don't know, you know, I mean, hopefully it's nothing health related. That's the number one thing. I'm a little surprised at the timing of it, you know, not long before football season with 2 years left on a contract. We'll find out. I mean, we're going to find out more about, you know, what exactly is behind it, whether it's an opportunity elsewhere, which, again, if it were that, you'd think that it would just be leaving now and going on to that other opportunity, unless it's something that's outside of college sports, which, again, you never know. We'll see. But that was interesting breaking news here this evening. And, you know, that's what we know at the moment. And all the guys that do a great job covering the team, you know, Dave Matter from the Post-Dispatch, Gabe Yarman, they're all on top of it. And if we find anything out or if I see anything on Twitter from any of the folks that know this program inside and out, we'll certainly dig into it a little bit later on. Doesn't, to me, feel like it's a good idea to just kind of speculate about what reasons could be or, you know, what's going on there. So we'll revisit that a little later in the show if we have any new information. But that was breaking news, and I think that's obviously a pretty big deal. And we'll see where Mizzou goes from here. Also, we got more college football that I want to touch on next hour as well, with Texas and Oklahoma leaving the Big 12. And, I mean, like, look, they're going to the SEC. I mean, that's the play. You know, we had the story last week about, you know, Texas and Oklahoma wanting to go to the SEC. You've got, you know, them already letting the Big 12 know that they're going to be, they will not be signing on for the anything past 2025. So you got all this going on. And, you know, I want to talk a bit about what that's going to do for not just the SEC, but also what it's going to end up doing to college football in general, because now there's going to be a race for a lot of the other quote-unquote name programs that aren't in the SEC. You know, I think there's going to be a bit of another arms race here. You know, well, the Big Ten will be chasing some teams, I would think. You would think the ACC would be wanting to do the same thing. I would think that some of those Big 12 teams might look at the Pac-12, maybe. I mean, if I'm the Pac-12 and I'm looking to expand, it wouldn't hurt to expand east and get some more television sets. And that's what a lot of that's about, is television sets, right? You bring in a national program like Texas, a national program like Oklahoma, and regions that are not really SEC covered right now. Yeah, I mean, that's the idea. Obviously, this is entirely about money for everybody involved. And we'll talk more about that later on. But I do think it's going to signal a really big change in college football. Like, we've already gone through conference expansion once. I think we're going to see the same thing again. We'll talk more about that later on. Up next, though, I want to start the baseball conversation. At 6:30, we'll bring in Joe Sheehan and talk about where Major League Baseball is right now leading into the trade deadline, what dynamics are at play, that kind of thing. And up next, I want to talk a bit about the Cards, right? I mean, they just dropped 2 out of 3 in Cincy, but they've won 6 of their last 10. They took 3 of 4 from the Cubs. They took 2 of 3 from the Giants. They've got opportunities here in the upcoming days to continue to play well. And what they need is a run. Well, the deadline's coming up. Is there something out there that could help? Sounds like Michaelis and Flaherty are getting closer. We'll talk a bit about that and kind of set the stage for our conversation with Joe Sheehan coming up next here on Camel X.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to
other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
There's a high fly ball.
Welcome back to the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line.
And it's a gutter.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
And the Billikens win this one.
Touchdown, Kansas City.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, back in on Sports Open Line here on a Monday night. We'll talk to Joe Sheehan, do a little baseball here coming up at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk some Blues with Darren Pang from Bally Sports Midwest coming up next hour at 7:15. And if there's any further development tonight on Jim Stirk leaving Mizzou, we'll definitely pass that along. I saw a tweet from Dave Matter last hour that a lot of people at Mizzou were shocked by the news. So we'll see. I mean, 2 years left on his deal. Hopefully nothing health-related. Hopefully it's something much simpler than that, and we'll talk a bit about it as we move forward once we have more information to talk about. All right, so let's take a look at where things are for the Cardinals coming into this week. Of course, they're off today. They get to go out and take on the Indians in Cleveland tomorrow. And the Indians are a very similar team, by the way, to the Cardinals. Similar record. They're a game over 500. The Cardinals are dead on 500 right now. You know, they're teams that, you know, kind of been in the same place, for much of the year, right? Cleveland was kind of, you know, they've been trying to hang around as contenders, but they've been moving pieces, and the Cardinals have obviously not done that. But as far as the record goes, these two teams have been kind of teetering around the same area, right? Cleveland is negative 31 on the run differential. Cardinals are negative 35. It is interesting to me anyway. I think that the Cardinals offense, so a lot of it is starting to come around. It's not fully going where you need it to go. Like the month of July has been better than the months that preceded it. So, I mean, that's a good sign, right? I mean, you know, they're hitting 260 this month, which again, is not necessarily, you know, world record level, but 260 average this month and a 763 team OPS. Compare that to June when it was 217 and 626. Compare that to May when it was 237 and 711. Compare that to April when those same numbers were 225 and 686. I mean, this has been the best month of offense that the Cardinals have had this year. And it's not a big surprise that a few things are happening. One, Paul Goldschmidt is just obviously destroying baseballs. He's hitting 338, OPS over 1,000 this month. But he's not alone. He's not alone. And this is even despite Arenado being just okay this month. Harrison Bader is absolutely killing it. I mean, there's just no other way to put it. He's killing it. 362 batting average this month, 1,000 OPS for Bader. Tyler O'Neill still having a good – he's not as strong now as he was earlier, but obviously he's still having a solid month of July. Paul DeJong, 875 OPS, hitting .310 with three home runs in the month of July. So some of the guys that they've been hoping would get going have started to get going. So the offense is at least heading in the right direction so far this month. And again, I think that, you know, with Carlson starting to do a little bit more here the last week or so compared to where he was earlier in the month of July, with Tyler O'Neill still having some of the best numbers on the team for the year. I mean, he and Bader, by the way, in case you guys haven't been paying attention, he and Bader are the team's leaders in OPS this season. Bader's the leader right now, 866, O'Neill at 857, and then you've got Arenado at 818 and Goldie at 796. So he's about to crack that 800 number too. So, I mean, as far as like the things you needed to happen for the offense to gain consistency, they're starting to happen. Now, the only unfortunate part here for O'Neill, who missed 20 games, and for Bader, who's missed, you know, more than half the season, those injuries have cut into the amount of time that those guys have been in the lineup together. And, you know, that when they've not been in there is clearly when the lineup has had some major problems. Now, if you can keep Paul DeJong going in the right direction, that would be great. If you can keep Dylan Carlson going a little bit more in that direction. Again, Carlson's been fine. You know, you're looking at a rookie who is still above major league average as a hitter. That's perfectly solid. I mean, you know, eventually, you know, we hope that he's going to be more, but for a first full season in the big leagues, if you're at league average, maybe a little bit better, and I think he's just a little bit above that, hopefully finishing strong would get him a little bit more above that. I'm not so worried about that. But two guys that you really needed to take steps forward have. So what does all of that mean for the trade deadline? Well, I mean, one, I don't think you're going to look at an outfielder coming to St. Louis. I mean, not one of those three guys is put themselves in a position where they need to come out of the lineup. Those are your outfielders going into the final 2 months. So where a month or two ago, or maybe even in spring training or this past offseason, you might have said, I know I talked about the possibility of, you know, a left-handed hitting outfielder that could share some time. Don't get me wrong, I'll take a good guy that can be the fourth outfielder and bring a little bit of a bat to the mix. But those three guys are playing. If they're healthy, Carlson, O'Neill, and Bader are playing. That's a strong defensive outfielder. They can all run. Obviously, O'Neill and Bader run better than Carlson, but Carlson's an above-average runner too. And you're getting offense. I mean, Tyler O'Neill leads the team in wins above replacement. We talked about this morning. Tom Ackerman and I talked about this during the Cards Conference. He leads the team in wins above replacement, even though he's missed 20 games. He's got more WAR than Goldie and Arenado. And a lot of that has to do with the, you know, with speed being a part of this and defense and all that. But the fact is that O'Neill has been one of your most impactful players, and Bader is doing that too. The only problem that we've had is they weren't in there for a lot of the year. And if they had been producing at this level, I'm sure you'd be a handful of games higher up in the standings. So I think for the moment, and look, I want you guys to be realistic, right? This idea that you're going to go out and replace Paul DeJong in free agency, or sorry, in a trade right now, not happening. He signed to a pretty team-friendly deal. You're not going to sell low on the player. And especially as he's just starting to hit, right? I mean, the month of July, he's hitting over 300, and he's got the OPS up near 900. You're not going to move on from the player that's going in the right direction. And it's not it's just not that kind of point in the season. And who are you going to go get? Go get Trevor Story. You're not getting Trevor Story. You're not doing that now. You're not going to give up elite young players. Because if Colorado's going to move him, they're going to want top-end prospects. And if not the best of the best, really good ones. Because it has to be better than the compensation pick that they're going to get if they just keep him and let him walk after he turns down the qualifying offer. So you have to give them something that's better than a sandwich pick after the first round. I mean, you have to. That's the deal. Otherwise, they're better off just letting him go. So just stop with the pipe dreams. Don't talk about the unrealistic things because you're only going to make yourself mad. Because it's not going to happen. What the team needs is more pitching. If there's a move out there, if there's something out there that could help. I mean, it's still starting pitching, because starting pitching would have a bleed-over effect in the pen. Like, if you could do, you know, a middle to the back end of the rotation starter to just to stabilize that, and a relief pitcher that would help, that's great. You know, all those things are great. But you do have Michaelis and Flaherty coming back soon. And I don't want to hear from anybody that says, you can't count on those guys. You have to count on them. You have to count on them. Flaherty's your ace. Miles has a multi-year contract. He's slotted in there to be basically your second or third starter. You have to count on those guys. When they're back and healthy, they're in there. So, yeah, there'd still be room for one more, though. If you have those two guys with KK and Wainwright, I know that Wade LeBlanc has been very competitive, and his work in the rotation has really helped stabilize things. I'm not sure you want to rely on that for the next 2 months, but he's been really helpful. But yeah, you can identify those needs. And we'll talk more about this a little bit later on in the hour. We'll talk a bit about the trade marketplace as a whole coming up next. Joe Sheehan's going to join me and talk a bit about what this week could be, and not so much what's next for the Cardinals, although we will probably hit on that, but also kind of like what's the market set up like? Because the way it looks to me, and the way John Mozeliak described it to me a couple of weeks ago, is that there are a lot more buyers than sellers. And obviously that brings up prices. We'll talk about all that next up with Joe Sheehan next here on Camel X.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
All right, back in your home for the Cardinals, KMOX. Time to talk a little baseball, and always a good day when I get to talk some baseball with Joe Sheehan, of course, the author of the Joe Sheehan Baseball Newsletter. You'll find Joe on Twitter, at @Joe_Sheehan. And, of course, find the newsletter links there, and you can just go straight to joesheehan.com. Highly recommend that direct path. Makes things a little bit simpler. Joe, how's it going today, man? Everything going all right?
Yeah, man. It was a good weekend, and looking forward to what should be a fun week before the trade deadline.
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting week. I was touching on this earlier, and it was put this way to me in I wouldn't say in a direct fashion, but certainly kind of a roundabout way when I talked to John Mozeliak a couple of weeks ago, that there sure seemed to be a lot more buyers than sellers out there, a lot more teams that, you know, I mean, I could figure, what, at least more than half of the teams in the American League, and it looks like more than half of the teams in the National League would be more on the buyer side than the seller side, and only a handful of defined sellers. That seems like that would be good for all the teams that are selling right now.
Yeah, and you got to remember, some of those sellers don't have a whole lot to sell. So, yeah. You know, you look at and there's a reason that they're, you know, 35 and 40, 55, whatever they are. So
right.
It should be, I think it is a good opportunity for teams that have assets. You look at the Twins, who've had an unfortunately bad year, but have some really good players they can put on the market. We've already seen them trade Nelson Cruz. We've seen the Pirates already trade Adam Frazier for what I thought was a pretty good return. I think the Rangers are going to run the deadline. You've got Joey Gallo, you've got Kyle Gibson, you've got Ian Kennedy. I think they're going to be the key team over the next week.
Great point. How much impact is there available here? I mean, on the offensive side, it feels like there are some names, right? I mean, you mentioned Joey Gallo. Feels like there could be a couple of other guys on that. It's like Trevor Story could still move. I mean, I feel like the names are bigger, But it also seems like the needs are greater on the pitching side for a lot of these contenders.
Yeah, it's unclear what the Nationals are going to do with Max Scherzer. It's unclear what Max Scherzer is right now. He's just a couple of minor ailments here that have kept him off the mound. We'll get some more information on him this week. He might start Thursday. If he's still a National, he might start Thursday. You got Kyle Gibson, who's had the best run of his career, but really he's a number three. If you pick him up, you're looking at him as somebody who can reliably give you six innings, as opposed to somebody who's going to start game one of a playoff series. There really isn't that guy out there on the market. And so, yeah, you look at that imbalance. Teams looking for innings, especially coming off the shortened season. Everybody's really panicked about innings.
Yeah.
We've seen this ridiculous number of pitching injuries this year that have shortened staves. I think there's a lot of concern. I want to say Peter Gammons, the legend Peter Gammons, made the point that everybody's terrified about August and what's going to happen to these staves in the heat when staves are in a normal year usually wearing down. So getting pitching is going to be a desire for these teams if there's not a ton of pitching out there. I think you might see – remember the trade the Rays made? They traded Willie Adames for two relievers.
Yeah, yeah.
You might see teams make that kind of deal where they're just trying to get quantity. We can get two arms in a trade, whether it's two back-end starters or a starter and a reliever, try to just add as many innings as possible. But I just don't think there's a number one out there. It's unclear what Scherzer is and whether he'll be traded. And I don't think Gibson's that guy.
Yeah, the other one that is getting some buzz and he fits towards that top end is Jose Berríos, if the Twins are going to move him. And I think that probably means they got to be blown away, right? Because I would think Minnesota wants to bounce back and be competitive next year. But he is a free agent after 2022? So, I mean, that's a guy that you almost have to blow them away, even though he fits the mold, 27, under control, all that, to bring back a blockbuster deal.
I don't understand the idea that they would trade Berríos and possibly, Byron Buxton if he were to come back healthy.
Right.
Both are free agents, they under 22, but I see no reason, if you're the Twins, to not look at 2022 and say, we can win this division. And the White Sox are a good team. The Indians are always going to be in a competition. You might see a step forward by either the Tigers or the Royals, but I project the 2022 Twins as an 85-win team right now, and that's without going into what they could do in next year. So The talk that they might trade Berríos, I guess I'm not surprised. They are a legitimate mid-market team. I don't know if I call them a smart market. They're a mid-market team. That kind of team is always looking to kind of turn the talent a year early. If you trade Berríos and by extension Buxton now, you get the extra value of it being a year and a half. Kevin, we've seen this in recent years. Rentals just don't bring anything back anymore.
Yeah.
Teams just aren't trading Gleyber Torres for Aroldis Chapman. That just doesn't happen. Whereas if you trade a guy with a year and a half remaining, it tends to be a lot more value. We just saw the Frazier deal. Frazier's got, I believe, a year and a half or 2.5 years left. And that brought back, Marcano, who's a pretty good prospect in a deep system. So if you're the Twins, you kind of say, okay, if we trade him now, we get the year and a half value. If we hold on to him and if we're in this situation a year from now, we're only going to get that rental value. But if I'm the Twins, and I mean, that's a tremendously smart front office, Derek Falvey and Baldelli in the dugout, I just don't understand why they would punt next year. I don't see where it makes sense for them to do so.
I'm with you on that. How about the Orioles with John Means? Could they look at this in an opportunistic way? Because I know he's been really good. I mean, he's been really good now going back to 2019, but he's 28. And he's going to be 29 soon, and their window doesn't start to open here for another couple of years, it doesn't look like. Could they take advantage of this marketplace and maybe go get the big blockbuster deal done?
Yeah, he's not a free agent until the end of after 2025. So you kind of look at the Orioles' window. Like, how soon are they going to be good again? I think 24 is probably their first year. So not only now do you have to hope Means is good for two more years, if you're going to hold him that long, you got to hope he's healthy for two more years.
And you got to pay him.
He's a pitcher, so... You got to pay. Well, again, the Orioles' payroll is going to be so low that
that's
paying
true.
One guy arbitration salaries really isn't going to matter. I mean, they're basically trying to put 25 minimum salaries out there. So, 24 and $6 million for John Means is going to make a difference. But I don't think he fits their window. And there are a few situations like this. Cedric Mullins with the Orioles is another one. Not a lot of service time, a good player, but already 26, never this good before. And, how long are you going to – he'll be 29 when you're good again. You look at the Pirates who just traded Adam Frazier. I got into a big thing on Twitter yesterday saying they should trade Brian Reynolds, too. People say, well, they have Reynolds under control for four more years. I said, well, great. Then he'll be a free agent right as you're getting good again. Some of these teams are so far from contention that even having a good player at 26 years old under control for four more years isn't actually going to get them anywhere. So as these the Pirates did this. The Orioles, of course, have been on the path well. The Pirates did this to themselves. The Archer trade set them back 2 years.
Yep.
They traded Joe Musgrove for not a whole lot last year. They've done this to themselves.
Unquestionably. I mean, the Tyler Glasnow deal, I mean, they've made a lot of deals where they moved on talent, but they didn't get anything of impact in return. So, you know, everybody else, by the way, in the National League Central Division says thank you for that because everybody else can benefit from it.
I want to make a point here. This isn't just in retrospect. A lot of people the day of the trade said they way overpaid for Archer, who was pretty clearly at that point not the same guy he'd been in 2017.
Yeah, 100% agree. 100% agree. Joe, looking at this from the National League Central Division standpoint, Milwaukee has put themselves in a really strong position. 6.5 ahead of the Reds, 8 ahead of the Cardinals, 9 ahead of the Cubs. The Cubs are clearly in a mode to sell because they're in a unique spot. You know, we've talked, I have at least, a lot about the difference between where the Cardinals and Cubs are. You know, they're only a game different in the standings, but they're a world different in terms of what they have under contractual control moving past this year. So, I mean, obviously the Cubs don't have control over their 4 or 5 best players. The Cardinals do. So they're in different spots now. But if you look at the Central, do you see any of them being able to change the way things look over the next 2 months via the trade deadline rather than just, you know, in the Cardinals' case, for example, getting Flaherty and Michaelis back and just finding what you thought you were going to be at the beginning of the year?
I think the Cardinals are a hard team to improve, especially in their current state, because fully healthy, they don't have big holes to fill.
Right.
You're not replacing Yadi and Molina. You're not replacing Paul DeJong. I mean, this is just who these guys are. You've got commitments to them. They're not bad players. They're just average players having an off year. The outfield is finally healthy. You're not going to sit O'Neill. You're not going to sit Carlson. You're not going to sit a healthy Harrison Bader. So you really can't improve this lineup. You can improve the bench. The bench has been horrible all year long.
Yep.
So if you can go out and get a secondary hitter or a couple of them to boast to the bench, maybe it means you finally have to part ways with Matt Carpenter. That I can see them doing, but there's no trade out there that's going to, you know, make them 2 wins better in the lineup. They just don't have that kind of team. And the pitching staff, you know, I think there'd be frustrated fans if the Cardinals did nothing at the trade deadline. And I understand that. The argument that you're getting Michaelis and Flaherty back in August is a reasonable one to make. And as we just said, there really aren't a whole lot of starters out there.
Right.
If you tell me the Cardinals can trade, you know, you're not trading Gorman. You're not trading Walker. You're not trading Laboratory to get Scherzer. That, again, you're not trading that kind of prospect for a rental. But he told me they could trade, you know, 2 guys further deep in the system to get Scherzer for 2 months. Yeah, that's the kind of trade I would love to see them make. And you go back to, you know, when they were trying to sign Scherzer and the Missouri connections and all the stuff there. I mean, there was a lot of frustration going back 7 years to when they couldn't get him. Maybe this is how you close the circle there by getting him for 9 starts at the end of the year. But if you're not getting that guy, or how about this, a reliever who can throw strikes more than he throws balls. Do you think that's probably the one thing they could reasonably go on the market for, because, I mean, that relievers are the easiest thing to get at deadline. The Cardinals are on pace to have the worst walk rate in, and I don't have exactly in front of me. Last I checked, the bullpen had the worst walk rate in 60 years. And I don't think that's gone down since the last I checked. I mean, they've got to do a better job, not just in terms of the performance aspects, but the strike throwing, but in terms of taking some of the load off Reyes, Gallegos, and Genesis Cabrera. I mean, those guys are all on pace to make 85-90 appearances. So adding relievers, I think, is the most likely path to them getting better.
Interesting you put it that way, because the way that I have been talking about this for the last couple of weeks, Joe, is maybe the way to approach this is to go the way that they did in 2011, which wasn't the blockbuster move. In fact, it was trading Colby Rasmus, who at the time was pretty well regarded, to go get Edwin Jackson and Octavio Dotel and Mark Zipchinski, and they went out in a separate deal and got Rafael Furcal. They just went out and got a lot of support players, and it closed up some of the holes, and it allowed them to kind of settle in, and their other players took over. And it feels like, I don't know, it won't be of that magnitude. It may not be a 6 or 7 or 8 player deal, but that sounds like what you're describing. Go get a couple of guys that can help stabilize, especially what you're talking about earlier with the innings moves, and see if that, combined with your guys coming back, can be enough to push you ahead.
Right. If they go out and get 3 relievers, you know, 2 of which nobody's really heard of, I think that'll be a win at the trade deadline. I can't, man, that Rasmus deal. I was wrong about that. I really like Colby Rasmus. You know, getting Scrabble, and I guess it was Dotel.
Yes, those 2 guys and Edwin Jackson and Corey Patterson.
I will say this. Building that kind of roster with Tony La Russa as your manager, versus building that kind of roster with Meg Schilt as your manager, these are not the same things.
Well, that team also had prime year Yadier Molina, Albert Pujols, Lance Berkman, David Fries, Alan Craig. I mean, it was a different team, right? I mean, it was a team that had powerhouse guys in the lineup. They were just kind of – they were missing out on you know, games that they should be winning because, you know, they didn't have enough depth in the rotation and the bullpen didn't have enough depth. So that's what stabilized them. It's a totally different situation. It's just conceptually maybe the same because of what you talked about earlier, the price of doing business at the top end of the market. I mean, if Kyle Gibson's the top end of the market, that's not a game changer for you as it is anyway. Good pitcher, but not a game changer for you. And maybe the depth is the right idea.
Yeah, there's no Verlander where you're getting an ace now and an ace for the next year. Excuse me.
Yeah, that's
Greinke, when the Astros traded for him.
Yep.
2.5 years. There's just not that guy on this particular market. I mean, you look at Barrios, you look at Marquez, but I don't know. I don't think the Cardinals, this is the other thing. The Cardinals have enough of a chance, 8 games out today, to catch the Brewers. Remember, and this is a weird year because the wild card is going to come out of the West in all likelihood. Like, you actually have a better chance of winning the division than you do a wild card slot. You really don't have that cushion of, if we don't win the division, we might win the wild card. It's probably division or bust, which makes it that much harder to say, you know, I just don't think it's worth it to put a top prospect out on the trade market for what is, I'm going to be generous here and say maybe there's a one-third chance that they win the division.
Joe, great stuff, buddy. Always appreciate your work. Anything you want to tease coming up for the newsletter beyond what you normally do on the day-to-day basis?
It's a big week. Obviously, leading up to the trade deadline, there'll be a lot of writing. Write about the trades over the weekend. And then I do a thing. I don't do second-half previews, Kevin. I do third previews because of the trade deadline, everything gets shaken up. So starting probably Monday, we'll cover every single team in some depth. All 30 teams will get put under the microscope, what they did the trade deadline, what's there to watch over the rest of the season if they're out of contention, and what their chances are if they're in contention. So it's a great week to jump on the newsletter. JoeSheehan.com gets you all the information.
I've always loved the third idea. It's great stuff. Joe, thank you so much, bud. And we'll look forward to the work. And, of course, we'll talk to you again somewhere down the road, bud.
Thanks, Kevin. Take care.
You got it. That's Joe Sheehan. And you'll find Joe on Twitter, by the way, @Joe_Sheehan. Interesting, you know, we'll talk more about this in a second because I do want to follow up on that idea that the depth may be the best way to go. And as he puts it, you know, relievers are generally pretty easy to come by. They're not super costly in terms of, you know, giving up prospects. There may be ways to really enhance your chances at making a run because what you need, and this is where we're going to go next, you need to get the two guys that have been out, Michaelis and Flaherty, and you need to go on a little bit of a tear, a 10-12 game tear where maybe you win 9 out of 11 or 10 out of 13 or something along those lines and cut that gap. And you also have to win head-to-head against Milwaukee, which has to come into the thinking of how you do this. We'll review that and kind of finish up this hour on that note next up here on KMOX.
There's a high fly ball.
Welcome back to the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line.
And it's a gunner.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
And the Billikens win this one.
Touchdown, Kansas City.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, back in on KMOX. Coming up, some Blues talk here in the 7 o'clock hour. We'll get to Darren Pang at 7:15. Before that, kind of set the scene with some of the things that are going on. We'll talk a bit about what's going on there. A lot of change happening, as you would expect. I mean, it's kind of the way things go when it comes to contracts and players advancing and all that. But we'll get to the Blues coming up in a few. On the Cardinals thing, to wrap up the couple quick thoughts from what we talked about with Joe Sheehan, I think that what he outlined and what I've been talking about for a little while now with depth moves, those will be the things to have your eyes set on. Now, you know, if you have a bad week and you're 10 or 11 games out by the end of the week, maybe that mutes the enthusiasm for something like that. But, you know, to be fair, when I talked to Mo a couple of weeks ago, a little more than a week ago, 8 days ago, when I asked him whether or not, you know, what the team does in the lead up to the deadline, how much it impacts what they do, he said not a lot. Because obviously they have both short and long-term plans. And if there's a way to get somebody for a couple of years, you know, even if it's just a depth guy to help out now, I mean, that innings thing is real. That innings worry that Joe Sheehan talked about is real. You know, everybody's about to find out if there's a wall that they're going to run into. Now, what might end up benefiting the Cardinals down the stretch is that Flaherty, Michaelis, a couple other guys haven't really carried that load because they're out. Maybe they don't feel it as much as they come back, and that can be a benefit. But you do have to count on those guys being healthy. You have to. And a little help from the depth perspective would be great. But I don't know that it's a marketplace that you're really going to dive into the deep end. It's going to be high cost for even less than star caliber players. And that's probably not kind of spot you're in right now. We'll talk more about that, obviously, later on in the show. Of course, later on in the week as well. Stick around. 7:15, Darren Pang's going to join us. And right after the news, we'll talk about everything that's going on with the Blues. Vince Dunn to Seattle. Vlad Tarasenko still here. You got a trade, bringing in a nice player. We'll get to that next up here on KMOX.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.